السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So inshallah we're going to be continuing with Sirah Khatam al-Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week I went over the time, so we're going to split that into two. So today's the 84th session inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so we talked about the incident of Raji' last week, and we talked about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were requested to send some people, some Sahaba, to teach them the message of Islam, and they did it out of treachery. The actual intention behind that was something else, and we learned how Asim ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu was the leader of that group. And ten Sahaba were sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talked about how they were killed, and all of them were killed one by one. The last two were taken as prisoners to Makkah, sold off, and we talked about how they were also killed. So that was Zayd ibn Dathinna radiallahu anhu and Khubayb ibn Adi radiallahu anhu. And Khubayb radiallahu anhu, we talked about how he was actually imprisoned for a few months. He was under imprisonment for a few months. And he was then taken to a place called Tan'im, where he was tortured and then finally martyred. So we talked about that last week. Inshallah, today we're going to be talking about the expedition of Qurra, or it's also called the incident of Bir Ma'una. And this is actually something that happened in the same month. So we're talking about the fourth year of Hijri, fourth year after the Hijra of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina Munawwara. And this is in the same exact month that Raji' took place. So in the month of Safar, the beginning of the year. And basically, the same way how the Prophet ﷺ was requested to send Sahaba to teach religion to the other place, a man by the name of Abu Bara Amir ibn Malik. Okay, so he came to Medina Munawwara, and he was invited towards Islam. The Prophet ﷺ invited him towards Islam. And he neither rejected or accepted. So he remained silent. He didn't say anything. And he actually asked sincerely. Okay, so this is the difference here. That he actually sincerely asked that, why don't you send some Sahaba to come to... And he was from the people of Najd, the Najd area. He said, send them to Najd to teach Islam to us, to our people. And I think a lot of people will become Muslim. And again, I want to emphasize this was sincerely. He wasn't trying to do any treachery, he didn't have any evil intent or anything like that. So the Prophet ﷺ was actually apprehensive about the safety of the Sahaba, because Najd was an area where there was a lot of people, there was no, you know, not really, Islam was not there, and the people were, you know, they were just, it was they weren't trustworthy. So the Prophet ﷺ was apprehensive about the safety of the Sahaba. But Amir ibn Malik assured him and vouched for the safety of the Sahaba that are sent. So he was one of the leaders of his tribe, and he vouched for the safety. He said that I will give them my jiran. And remember, we talked about this earlier, where the people of the Arabia, they would give protection to each other. Okay, so they would give protection to each other, and they would say that, okay, this person is under my protection, so anyone who dares to touch or harm that person will be under the fury and the attack of that person and his tribe. They'll go and actually attack that person or those people who attacked someone that was under their protection. So Amir ibn Malik, Abu Bara, he vouched for their safety, and he gave them their jiran, he gave them their protection. So the Prophet ﷺ commissioned 70 of the learned Sahaba. 70 Sahaba, okay? And there is, this is called the incident of Qurra, or Ba'athul Qurra also, because Qurra is a jama of Qari. Qari is a learned person. And nowadays, we think of Qari as someone who just reads the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an in a good way. Actually, the real original meaning of Qari is someone who's well-rounded in all the branches of knowledge. Okay, so someone he's perfect, he's good in tajweed, he knows seerah, he knows fiqh, he knows tafsir, you know, nahu, asarf, everything. Like, he's a well-rounded alim. So that's the plural of qari. So these 70 qurra, these 70 sahaba, were commissioned to go by the Prophet ﷺ, and these sahaba were actually very pious and devout Muslims. It's related that most of them were from the Ashab al-Suffa. Okay, and what is Ashab al-Suffa? Hassan? What is Ashab al-Suffa? Anyone? Jazakallah. So it was basically you could say a homeless shelter, okay, where a lot of the Sahaba who did not have family in Medina, or they'd made hijrah, so they made hijrah to Medina, they didn't have family, they didn't have jobs, they didn't have businesses and that kind of stuff. So they would live on this homeless, in this homeless shelter until they got on their feet, or a lot of them were actually students of knowledge. So they actually just remained there by choice. They would be studying studying the Quran, studying and learning, sitting with the Prophet ﷺ day and night, basically as much as they can. And basically they were students of knowledge, so they were living in Ashab al-Suffa, or this, they were called Ashab al-Suffa, the people of Suffa, and they would be living there and they would be learning and teaching knowledge. So these, most of these 70 were actually from the people of Ashab al-Suffa, and that's why they were the Qurra. A lot of the people who lived on Suffa, they were actually the Qurra. One of the most famous amongst them, anybody know? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was the most hadith related by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was actually from the people of Suffa. And that was one of the reasons, because he basically kept himself away from the work or anything else, and he basically he made his life basically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for learning and teaching Islam. So he was one of the most famous of the Ashab Sufa. So these Qurra, these 70 Sahaba, one of the things that's related by him being from the people of Sufa, that in the daytime, okay, so they would go out and they would go out to the jungles and they would collect firewood, okay? And they would go collect firewood, bring it back to the city of Medina, sell the firewood, and from the proceeds of that, they would take the money and they would actually go and buy food for their fellow Suffa people, for the fellow students of knowledge. So they would go and spend it on each other, and they would have food for everyone, or you know, as much as they can. So that was one of the things they would do in the daytime. And the night, they would spend part of the night learning and teaching religion and the deen, and the rest of the night they would be praying tahajjud and taking rest and whatnot. Okay, so they were very pious Sahaba. And Munzir ibn Amr As-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, he was appointed as the Amir of this Jamaat. So he was the Amir of this Jamaat, of these Qurra, and they were sent to the people of Banu Amr. Abu Bara, the one who was, the one who gave the protection. So now, what they did was, the Prophet ﷺ also gave him a letter that was addressed to Amir ibn Tufail. So Amir ibn Tufail, he was the leader of Banu Amir, and he was also the nephew of Abu Bara. Abu Bara, the one who guaranteed the safety of the Sahaba, of the Muslims, his nephew was the leader of Banu Amir, and this letter was addressed to him, Amir ibn Tufail. Now when the Sahaba, they came to a place called Bir Ma'una, so the well of Ma'una, and they settled there, they camped out at that place. They basically sent one man, they said, we'll send a messenger with the letter to go before us, to go to Banu Amir and speak to them and basically let them know why we're here. And he took, the Sahabi was Haram ibn Milhan, radiallahu anhu. And this is the Mamu of, anybody know? Anas ibn Malik. Okay, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. Okay, his Mamu, so his mother's brother, okay? Sulaim, radiallahu anha, is the mother of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anha, and her brother, Haram ibn Milhan. And that's why one of the sisters, her name was Haram, okay? Radiallahu anha, the mother of Haram. So she and also her sister, they were khalas of the Prophet ﷺ through suckling, through milk. Okay, so this is the brother Haram, and like I was saying, Haram, the reason why she had the name Haram is that her younger brother Haram, the one we're speaking about, he was younger brother and she used to take care of him, so she was basically nicknamed Haram. That was her nickname. So anyway, so Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu an, the mamu of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, was sent as a messenger to deliver the letter to the people of Banu Amr. So he went there and he went to straight to Amr ibn Tufail, the leader of this tribe, and he had the letter with him. And before Amr ibn Tufail even read the letter or, you know, asked him what he's there for, he knew he was Muslim, okay? And he didn't even ask him, he didn't even read the letter. And he gestured, he motioned to one of his men to kill him, to kill the messenger. And we know this is against, you know, even current rules and international laws and stuff. This is against the rules. But he motioned him to kill him. And Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu anhu was killed by one of the people who was standing behind. He killed him at that instant. So now the messenger is killed. And the rest of the Qurra are waiting for the messenger to come back, for Haram radiallahu anhu to come back. So they're waiting at Bir Ma'una. And basically, Amr ibn Tufail, on the other hand, he goes to his tribe, Banu Amr, and he says to him, come with me and let's go and execute and massacre the Muslims that are waiting there. And his tribe, they refuse to come with him. And the reason is because they find out, they know that their uncle, the uncle of Amr ibn Tufail, has given his protection. So out of respect to the uncle, because he was one of the leaders also of the tribe, they refuse to go and massacre the Muslims and go and kill the Muslims, so to join him. So they refuse, but then Abu Bara goes to Banu Sulaym, which is another tribe, which was not Muslim, and they happily agreed to join him. So they amassed a group of warriors, and they came and they surrounded the Muslims at Bir Ma'una, okay, to kill them all. So they come there, and when they come there, that's where they basically proceed to fight the Muslims. The Muslims were outnumbered, and they were massacred on the spot. One of the famous Sahaba that was killed at this incident was Amr ibn Fuhayra radiallahu anhu. And Amr ibn Fuhayra radiallahu anhu, he was famous for his journey with the Sahibain, with the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the Hijra to Medina Munawwara. Okay, Amr ibn Fuhayra. Also, Amr ibn Fuhayra, he was a freed slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we know the story where Abu Bakr in Mecca, he was buying slaves that were being tortured, like Bilal radhan, Amr ibn Fuhayra, and others radhiallahu anhum ajma'in. He was buying them their freedom, and his father Abu Quhafa, who later becomes Muslim radhiallahu anhu, he says to his son that, why are you freeing, or why are you buying these weak slaves? Buy the strong ones, so that at least they can come to your protection later, or they can help you when you're in a time of need. And Abu Bakr then says that, I'm not doing this for myself, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu was actually one of those. And in this incident, Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu, there was actually his killer, Jabbar ibn Salma. Okay, Jabbar ibn Salma, he actually is the one who narrates the hadith. The incident. He became Muslim later on. And just Jabbar, he says that while the massacre was going on, the fighting was going on, I came up behind Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu with a spear, and I stabbed him and went through his back and came out the front. So he stabbed Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu, and he said that as soon as I stabbed him, he cried out. He said, "Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba." He said, "I have attained my goal, wa Rabbil Kaaba. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba," meaning I have attained my goal. And he says that I was shocked. Like, what is he talking about? I just stabbed him, and he's gonna die for sure. Like, I put it right through his body. And what is he talking about? What kind of goal did he attain? What is he talking about? And we know that as Muslims, the Shahada is the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate goal. And, you know, going back to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala, that's our goal, right? So that's what Amr ibn Fuhayra radhiallahu anhu was talking about when he said this. He didn't care that he's being killed. He didn't care. And just like Khubayb radhiallahu anhu, we talked about last week, the poetry that he was reciting when he was being killed and tortured, that I don't care how they kill me or where my body goes to rest or falls, but I know that this is, inshallah, this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Amr bin Fuhayra radhiyallahu anhu says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah, I have succeeded, I have attained my goal, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now also related by him, about Amr bin Fuhayra radhiyallahu anhu, something, a miracle and karama that occurred, is that as soon as he died, and they were killing the other Muslims, his body was actually lifted up. And they also, and the kuffar also saw it, and there are also narrations that they, the ones who did become Muslim later on, they said that we saw it, that his body was lifted up to the heavens. Okay, and Jabbar was one of those who also saw it, and he says that basically he talked to a Sahabi later who was named by the name of Dahak radhiyallahu anhu. And the Dahak radhiyallahu anhu wrote a letter to the Prophet about this, what had happened. And the Prophet responded by saying, "Innal malaika warat jathatahu fi illiyin," meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the angels to take his body, and they took it up. And the even Amr ibn Fuhayra, Amr ibn Tufail, the one who initiated this killing and the massacre, he actually, it's related that he asked, he saw the body going up. And he said, "Man rajul minhum lamma qutila ra'aytu rufi'a bayna as-samai wal-ard." That who was that man that I saw when he was killed? His body was lifted up to the heavens and it disappeared in the clouds, or disappeared in the sky. So this is an incident, a famous incident that happened during that massacre. Now, the survivors of the massacre, there was actually three survivors of the massacre at that point. One of them was Ka'b ibn Zayd al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu. And he was he actually was heavily wounded in that attack, in that fight, and he was left for dead. So they thought he was dead, they left him for dead. But he actually survived, and he lived on to fight in the Battle of Khandaq, and he was actually shaheed in the Battle of Khandaq. Okay? And there was two others, Sahaba, that were survivors, Munzir ibn Muhammad radhiyallahu anhu, and Amr ibn Umayyah radhiyallahu anhu. They actually survived because they weren't on the scene. They were actually grazing the animals. So they took the animals out to graze in the surrounding areas. And what happened was, it's related that they basically, when they were grazing, they saw a bunch of birds flying to an area and flying around this area. And they saw that as a sign that there's something wrong here, something happened. So when they hurried back to their to the Qura, to the Sahaba, to the group, they saw that they were all left, they were all, you know, killed and massacred. And these are the only two left. So they actually talked to each other. They said, "Should we go back and inform the Prophet ﷺ, or what should we do?" And they actually decided, "No, why don't we go and attain the Shahada that our companions have attained? Let's go and fight the enemy also." So they went after the enemy to fight them. And they actually started fighting. One of them, Munzir radhiyallahu anhu, was killed. And Amr ibn Umayyah radhiyallahu anhu, he was actually caught. He was caught alive. He was the sole survivor of this Bir Ma'una. He was survived. He survived, and then Amr ibn Tufail, the leader who had killed all the Sahaba, he actually shaved his head. He cut his hair, shaved his head, and he released him, sent him back to Medina. He said, and saying that my mother had vowed to free a slave, so I'm gonna do this on her behalf. So he basically just freed him and let him go back, and also probably to, so he can go back and tell the Muslims what had happened. You know, that's how they do that. They leave one person alive and say, "Go back and send the message, tell the people, tell your leader, you know, basically what we have done to your people." So so this Sahabi came back, and he was the one who informed the Prophet. And we'll talk about next week, inshallah, what happened, where when he's coming back, there's an incident that happened, and it turned into another incident with Banu Nadir, one of the Jewish tribes, after that. So we'll talk about that next week, inshallah. So the Prophet ﷺ was grief-stricken when he heard this incident of the sad news of 70 of the, or 69 you could say, of the huge qurra of the you know, eminent Sahaba were killed in this tragic incident. And for a whole month, it's related, for Qunut al-Fajr, he prayed against these tribes. Made dua against these tribes for a whole month after Fajr, every single day. And this is something that we should be doing more often. Some places, it depends, I guess. You know, I remember a few years ago, you know, the Masjid Ahmed bin Hanbal, in Medina Munawwara. It was right by my house, basically a couple of minutes walk. And I would go there for Fajr specifically because the Imam, mashallah, he had a good voice. I liked his voice. But one thing he would do is during Fajr, he would do Qunut every single Fajr. And this was, I think it was something going on in Palestine at that time, or something was going on. I forgot exactly what it was. And he did it for a long time. Every single day he would do that. So I would go there to pray Fajr so I can do the dua with him. It was a beautiful dua he would make, really long and lengthy dua that he would make. So the Prophet ﷺ did this for 30 days. He made dua in Qunut of Fajr for a whole month. Now, there's a hadith, and I'll end with this, inshallah, that Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he's the one narrating this. He says that the Prophet ﷺ invoked the curses on these tribes who had killed the Muslims at Bir Ma'una, and some of the tribes that are mentioned, Ri'il, Dhakwan, and Lihyan, wa Usayya. So these are the tribes that had joined in and killed the Muslims. So he was doing dua against them. Also, Anas radhiallahu anhu, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah of the Quran. قال أنس رضي الله عنه أنزل الله عز وجل في الذين قتلوا ببئر معونة قرآنا قرأناه حتى نسخ بعد. So basically this ayah was revealed and it was part of the Quran, and then later on it was taken out. It was taken out of the Quran. It was abrogated later on. Okay, and this ayah was بَلِّغُوا قَوْمَنَا أَنْ قَدْ لَقِينَ رَبَّنَا فَرَضِيَ عَنَّا وَرَضِينَ عَنْ, meaning that this is Allah SWT is revealing the ayah about what the Sahaba of Bir Ma'una, the Shuhada of Bir Ma'una, what message they are sending to the Sahaba who are still alive, basically the ones who are left behind in the world. And basically they were saying that convey it to our people, convey the tidings to our people that we have met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He was pleased with us and we are pleased with Him. So this is an ayah that was part of the Quran, and Anas ibn Malik said we would recite this ayah, it was part of the Quran, but then later on it was abrogated and taken out. So we'll stop there. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير.